Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
The following is an Auburn Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well as the week goes on. The temperature is easing back up as we head toward the weekend. It's going to be another warm weekend, but at least doesn't look like any rain in the forecast. That shouldn't be a problem, and we will have a warm, sunny homecoming day on Saturday as Auburn hosting South Alabama. We'll talk to Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover is here in the studio with Bill and Dan here on the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Love for you to join in as well. Anything on your mind sports-wise, give us a call on The Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, 334-321-1390. And speaking of Skybar, Dan, we're back there tomorrow, right?
That's right. Taking the show on the road downtown to Skybar to kick off homecoming weekend, and I'm sure a lot of folks will be out and about Thursday as well as Friday and Saturday night. So we'll be just a few steps from Toomer's Corner for the unofficial start of your game day weekend there with our pals at Skybar, and they also they present the podcast, or no, actually I take that back, they present the hotline. You mentioned
right.
That you can also text the show 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box, presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, and they also present the podcast, available wherever you get your favorite podcast. Go to ESPNAU.com or use the podcast center at the website, or just go to your favorite podcasting platform and search for The Drive with Bill Cameron. That's all presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. But yeah, really excited to take the show on the road to Skybar. We've been out and about these last couple of days.
Yeah, we have. It's fun.
The Plaza and Franklin. It's it's always a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. It's also always fun when we have Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover in the studio with us. JC, how you doing?
Doing good. How about y'all?
Pretty well. I'm getting better. I'm getting up and down stairs, bending both legs now. That's a first.
And Auburn, you know, back in the top 25 for the first time in several seasons. I mean, it does feel like, you know, with some big games around the corner and a sneaky game against a Group of Five team this Saturday, it does feel like things are, you know, the way it's an old Radiohead song, but the way I described it on the Observer podcast, like everything is in the right place right now for Auburn. I mean, yeah, you'd like for Champ Anthony or Damari Alston or the Darrell Robinson thing sounds like it's out of a horror movie or an episode of The Pit or something, right? Whatever, what's going on there. But no, for the most part, it does seem like things are where you would have liked them to be 2-3 weeks ago.
Yeah, so good.
If you had to project the season.
Yeah, no, this is like, you're like, okay, 2-0, South Alabama at home, opportunity to get into the top 25. Which, as we know, like it doesn't really mean anything at this point, other than it's great to be in there because that's the best way to move up. Because as we found out this week, and I did a thing about this week, it's hard to get in there if you're not in there early because people do not like to be wrong. So if you're voted in the preseason poll early, they don't like to vote you out unless it takes a whole bunch. So you get in there, and people say, well, it doesn't matter. Everything matters because we're human beings. Everything influences those people that go in that room, including the polls, and they can say they don't, and they're wrong. So getting in there is a big deal. Now, can you stay in there? Can you move forward? And yeah, you're right. This is much different than Ball State. People are like, oh, like I'm just telling you, like I don't see Auburn winning this game by 20-some-odd points. I think it's going to be a more difficult game than that. I mean, South Alabama's athletic. They got a bunch of older guys. If you do, then you'll feel pretty good. But I think it's going to be a challenge against a team that's going to come in here Saturday playing at Super Bowl.
They are so jacked up. You know, they will be. I mean, we've talked about it, Jason. I mean, I expect them to be aggressive, really aggressive on both sides of the ball. Now, that can lead to the ability for Auburn to make big plays, but it also I think they're going to do everything they can to try to blow up whatever Auburn's doing, both offensively and defensively.
Yeah, no, like this thing can score points. You look at the league they play in, they've got some talented skill guys. They do that defensively. They've given up points, and they've given up a lot of rushing yards. They're not real big up front defensively. Again, so you look at it and you go, what do you do? We'll find out what they do Saturday. I mean,
if this game's well in hand, like at halftime for Auburn, like I don't think – I mean, it probably wouldn't surprise too many people when you're talking about a point spread that's, you know, 3-4 scores. But I think it would be a real accomplishment for Auburn if they can put this team away,
correct,
you know, in half of a football game and just sort of be able to, you know, spend the rest of the game a comfortable distance away from South Alabama and sort of evaluating things from afar. I think that would be a real success.
I think it would too. But I mean, it's something that's easier said than done when you've got the early start against a team that's really motivated, and you've got a huge ball game coming up next week.
Correct. And you look and like Alabama was able to do it, but obviously that was a very determined Alabama team who was like, well, we got to go show something. Look at most of the other teams in this situation around the country last weekend. Clemson struggled, and that was after a loss. Mm-hmm. Struggle with Troy. Georgia has, in two games, has not done anything overwhelming. Didn't last weekend at all.
LSU.
You look at it and go,
look
like,
up and down. Yeah.
Correct. And so these situations early on now, I think, you know, people are like, well, these programs are, they're getting pilfered, so – but they're also adding players too. And so they're adding guys from maybe that they would have never had from a talent standpoint who haven't had the opportunity to play. Now they're going back to these programs, and they go like, well, you're not good enough to maybe start at an Auburn or an Alabama or an Ole Miss.
Kentrell Bullock.
Yeah. But all of a sudden you go, well, yeah, but you might be better than anybody they got. And so now you're seeing it, and I think it's evening out a little bit, not at the top, but in the middle of that roster, you look and you go, because, I mean, look at Auburn's roster. It's really old or really young. There's not a whole lot in the middle, and I think most everybody else is in the same boat.
So Auburn and South Alabama, before we get more into that, though, Jason, I mean, just your assessment, your grades, I guess, if you will, of Auburn and Ball State.
Yeah, I thought it was workmanlike. And that's a good thing to have in a game like that.
You got some individual standouts. You got some guys that seem to.
Yeah, I want to say I thought Saturday was the difference in talent because I didn't think Auburn was especially into that game early on.
The crowd was
great. It was fantastic.
That was really, really impressive.
But I thought that showed you the difference in because I said, look, this team, even Ball State, if it's 2 years ago, that Auburn team, and you play like that against Ball State, if you look up at halftime, it's probably 17-10. That's the difference in talent to me. It showed up because now you can go make plays even when it's not playing great. So I thought that was the first thing. I mean, you look offensively, I thought Jeremiah Cobb was good. I thought he did a good job. I thought Omar Mabson looked really good in his couple of carries that he got.
He's got a little power.
And he's got good feet. Yeah. I'm like, his vision, I thought he did a good job. To me, you look at it, and that's the first time that we have seen Eric Singleton be full speed. And even then, I don't think he was probably 90. Baylor probably 75. Mm-hmm. You look at the difference that guy makes when he's full speed and how much it changes what a defense is able to do. I think – there's so much more left, but I thought that was maybe the key to this because he brings such a different dimension to this offense.
It turns out we were watching a pro last year in KLS. He got some targets in Brazil on Friday for the Chargers. Looks like he's going to be part of that offense this season. Eric Singleton, I'm fairly certain I'm watching a pro. Like through a couple of games with the route running, with some of the explosiveness. I know that – It doesn't feel like size is necessarily a drawback either when you think about some of the top, you know, the most targeted guys in the NFL now.
No.
Everybody
spreads it out.
Yeah, I think Eric Singleton has a chance to, you know, if health is in his favor, he's got a chance to play football for a very long time, and he's showcased a lot of why you would think that through a couple of games.
Yeah, so I thought they were good. I mean, I think
is Horatio the surprise of the bunch because you maybe expected Cam and Eric to have significant roles, but Horatio being 8 for 8 on targets and receptions through the first two games?
If you'd asked me in July, I would have said yes. After camp, not a surprise because every time we saw him, he was showed up every day.
Yep.
I mean, he was a red zone guy. He was doing all these things, and we're like, man, that guy's good. He's going to be a really big part of things, and he is the steady guy. He reminds me of Rod Smith. When I think about Rod Smith had to be one for that team. Horatio's three and a half.
I like that.
For this team.
We were arguing in preseason, you know, watching some of these practices, like, when was the last time you watched an Auburn receiver and you felt as confident they were going to catch the ball?
Yeah.
As
Darvin Adams.
Darvin Adams is
the same kind of guy. Yeah, I mean, like, yes, but those guys were ones in that group. And all of a sudden you go, well, I tell you, and I talk to folks throughout preseason camp, and they're like, look, he's the most physical guy we've got. Horatio's the most physical blocker. So all of a sudden you knew immediately he's going to play a bunch because those are the guys that get on the field. They play when you're that guy. When you're physical in a run game and blocking, you're going to get your opportunities, and then he's caught the football too. So I think he's been, honestly, better than I thought he was going to be when they signed him, but not after we saw him in the preseason. I think this is what it was. Defensively, the front just keeps – I mean, and Ball State's not very good, but the front just keeps doing what they do, and then Xavier Atkins has been – he's been dynamite now. There's still the one thing, and it didn't happen on Saturday. There'll be some opportunities. They're so aggressive, and he's so aggressive. There's going to be times when he makes a wrong step. Now, this defense is fast enough to overcome it at times, but there's going to be more often than not he's going to be involved in a negative play. And I think we saw that aggressive defense that I thought at Baylor, Hugh Freeze said it in people – and I think he's exactly right after watching this defense again. I thought they got punched in the mouth by Baylor early on and were like, uh-oh, what's going on? Because they had been so dominant all preseason. And then they got a little bit of that swagger back the other night. And so I think, to me, they were good. Tackling was good.
A lot of that aggression that, you know, has been legislated out of football too, right? You can't set the tone as a defense, the way you could. You got to worry about flags. You may even have to deal with some plays getting reviewed for targeting, perhaps.
You also have to worry about, because you don't get a lot of opportunities. So I retweeted this today because somebody from the NFL office tweeted this. This is the National Football League. During the regular season, padded practices for all players will be limited to a total of 14.
For the entire season?
The whole year.
All right, so you've got 18 weeks. And you got 14 padded
practices. 11 of which must be held during the first 11 weeks of the regular season.
Okay.
3 will be held in the remaining 7 weeks.
Okay.
And then if you make the playoffs, you get to have one a week.
Wow.
But so you have 14 padded practices the entire NFL season. And you, like college, you can have more than that, but that's just the way this sport has become because of, you know, the concussions and because of those things. So now you have to be very tactical on how you practice tackling, doing those things. And sometimes it takes you getting out there, getting on the field and going through it a little bit. Because the NFL had 4 preseason games. So those guys had a little bit of that to go out there and tackle some. In college, you don't have that. And I think we saw last weekend too, that Baylor offense is pretty good.
Yeah, they are.
And so you might have played – as difficult an offense as you're going to see this season from sideline to sideline.
You know, I don't know if we'll see about Mateer. If it turns out Sawyer Robertson's the best quarterback Auburn faced all season, like when things shake out at the end of the year, okay. Like I mean, would it be that shocking when you look at the rest of Auburn's schedule? If it turns out that the best quarterback Auburn faced all season might have been might have been in the Baylor game.
I think he will be in that group.
Yeah,
he'll be among the best.
But I think system wise, it was almost like facing Mississippi State with Mike Leach, because you had to defend 53 yards, and they were running guys all over the place. I think it'll be a little different with different teams, but you've already seen a team that stretched you thin. And so now you've adjusted and know what you had to do. So that's the things I liked. I still have some questions about straight up throwing the football for this team. Now, RPO, I don't. I think they're fine.
I'm
not really sure. Yeah. I think it's a little bit of everything. Some of that is doing it more. But I still have, like, hey, 3rd and 8. Now, they did it against Baylor when they needed to.
Mm-hmm.
But, boy, the dropbacks have been a combination of maybe holding it a second long. If you said, look, we're too deep on a drop in one of those. Had a couple of blocking issues. So it's been a little bit of everything. I think it's something that will continue to improve. But I don't know that you're going to do it a bunch unless it's 3rd and long when you start to really get into this thing. I think it's going to be more RPO throws anyway.
All right, we're just underway here on the Wednesday Drive. Jason Caldwell with us for hour number one. Love for you to join in, 334-321-1390. We'll get to our first break, so come on in here on the Wednesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron, 7502, or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Bill, Dan, and Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover here in the studio.
We were chatting a little bit during the break, and you know, what I want to talk about, Jason, is a part of the Auburn defense that we haven't talked about practically at all this season, which I think is probably a good sign, but I can't imagine that's the way it's going to be Saturday or once Auburn faces Oklahoma and Texas A&M. I mean, there's been so little talk of Kayan Lee and Jay Crawford, and for that matter, Pleasant. Rayon Strader. The outside corners, especially when you think about how many yards Auburn gave up against Baylor, like it seems like the outside corners have put together two really strong games, and Jay Crawford in particular, teams are just deciding, you play the percentages and throw it somewhere else.
Correct. Yeah, no, I think he is, I won't say eliminating a side of the field, but teams are very hesitant to throw his way. Kay and Lee's given up a little bit, but nothing significant on that side. We saw a little bit of Donovan Starr the other day, and he's physical. They feel good enough that Blake Woodby is a nickel.
Yeah, how about
that? Like he's at the nickel doing those things, so they feel good about those five guys. That's a pretty good sign. And here's the thing. We were talking about, like, none of those guys are out of – maybe Rayshon Pleasant – or no – Strader is the only one
Strader's
out of
the only one that's his last.
That would be his last year. Now you might not have them all back, mm-hmm. but like it's still a group that you could build around.
Jay Crawford can't even go pro.
No, he's a sophomore.
Like Kayan's going to have a decision to make at the end of the season about Hugh Freeze has been saying he's an NFL player for three years, to the point where I feel like if Auburn got him back, it would be a luxury, and Auburn would sort of understand if the plan all along has been for Kayan to play 3 years of college football and move on. We'll see what he decides to do, what the NFL people say at the end of the year. But Jay Crawford, I mean, it's a year two situation where you know this. And just based on the start to his career, he seems like someone who, if he can stay healthy these next 10 games, he could go into next year as one of the top corners
and in
the SEC.
And if you do what you're capable of as a team – and you look up and you're, you know, 8-4, 9-3, then he could be a guy that has some All-American type.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I think people understand now that numbers doesn't always equate that at defensive back. Like,
He
might not have six interceptions. I do think
– and having a bunch of tackles isn't always a great thing as a cornerback either, because it means your
front guys are throwing it at you a bunch and you're having to make a tackle.
Yeah, yeah. Leading the team in tackles as a corner.
The days where you go like, man, those two safeties are really good ball hawk guys. Well, that's not great if those guys have 148 tackles between them. That's not always a good thing.
That's a lot of opportunities for those guys to make tackles. No, but it does feel like the middle of the secondary has gotten more attention through two games. Hugh Freeze seemed pleased with the steps that Sylvester Smith took.
Had a great day
from game one to game two. I mean, three. Were they all on the same guy? Was it nine? I think it was nine all three times. Sylvester's the hit on the kick return.
Yep.
When the guy's coming up,
I know
up
the swing pass was.
It's the hit on the swing pass, and it's
in the goal line,
and then the one
the red zone,
the one in the red zone. I mean, it's three different times when Sylvester Smith just makes it a point to ruin that guy coming out of the backfield for Ball State. And. And I think you noticed a lot of other personnel out there at safety as well getting different looks.
Continue to see Eric Winters
really
early out there. I think we'll see more of Anquan Fagans as it goes along too. So we've seen Jacquez Robinson. Obviously, you look at Caleb Harris. You like that again. You're talking about four guys at corner that they're rotating. You're talking about four or five safeties. The nickel in there. We've seen Kinsley Faustin. We obviously Sylvester's in there.
And now Champ back at practice.
Yep, my guess is that he will be emergency Saturday. Mm-hmm. I would guess he'll have his pads. And hey, if we need you in emergency, we'll go. But hold him otherwise. I talked to him before the game last Saturday, and he said he thought he'd be back this week. He said, but I'm not sure yet whether or not that'll mean playing.
I could see. Eric Newboy and KLF probably as a second unit if Champ can't go. If they decided to, those are three guys that we've seen a little bit more of without Champ Anthony.
And Jacquez is in there too. I think he's starting too. So yeah.
That assumes that
Sylvester's at the nickel.
That assumes Robinson, Harris, and Smith as your starters at safety and star. I would think maybe your next three up the middle there could be without Champ Anthony. The two true freshmen and KLF at the
Woodby.
You've got Blake Woodby too. You've got another true freshman.
Got a chance at three true freshmen.
So lots of options. That's good, and we've seen those options up front too.
Where else? And I think the answer could be defensive back here, although I kind of doubt it. Where else could Auburn be looking at punt return? Because the thing on Saturday was really interesting with.
Well, I think Bryce is the next guy.
They tried Malcolm Saturday. Mixed results, I think. I thought
you got to catch it.
Punting into the new scoreboard was into the wind, and so I could tell, those balls were not going to get to him, and so the wind was really strong, especially in the first half.
Yeah, well, obviously in the press box we couldn't tell.
And
that,
so they were getting knocked down like a golf shot. I wondered because it almost rolled over.
Seemed like his judgment.
Yes,
He was having a tough time.
And so they were
exactly
really getting knocked down. So I thought that was a big impact. And then, a couple of cannon shots with the wind going the other direction. We saw Singleton getting some serious work catching punts in practice the other day too. Yep.
I thought he looked like the first choice back in preseason.
And then he got hurt, and then they kind of took him off that. I wouldn't be surprised to see him back out there, especially if you feel like Malcolm's a little dinged up, and that could have had a little bit to do with it too. I think some of these things are, hey, let's limit the contact during the week on these guys to make sure they're ready to go Saturday because they're still practicing. We've seen guys in yellow jerseys. They're still running routes. They're still doing things. They're just like, hey, limit some of the contact. So I would say Singleton, but Bryce King would be the other guy.
334-321-1390. All right, the other concern right now, Jason, obviously, is place kicking.
Yeah. Yep. It's I still think right now as long as everything stays good with him, I think Alex McPherson 38 and in is good. We saw him kicking some, and he kicked a 40. We're out there the other day, probably 45.
I think they might even try him from 40.
I think the wind.
You need to be around the 25 or in.
The wind
appears for.
I don't know that into the wind, but they would try that one. And then look at Towns and Connor Gibbs, and both have the leg. Towns just mishit one the other day. It was like a golfer. He just hit one fat. Mm-hmm. Connor Gibbs did a great job on kickoffs.
He really did.
Really strong leg. Had a couple of good ones, but pushed one when we saw him.
And you're saying as he was kicking toward the new scoreboard, that was into the wind?
That was into
the
wind.
My goodness, because he had a couple of kickoffs that were at the back of the
end.
The leg's
crazy. The problem is seeing him kick some field goals beyond 40. It's just there's no telling left or right.
Yeah, and it was consistency.
They were all getting there.
I think Connor Gibbs, to me, I believe he gets the first shot this week.
Yes.
If based on just kind of watching it, I think they gave him a chance. But
felt like there was a moment where they kind of wanted him to
go, hey, go take it, and he didn't do it.
Yeah, there was
So now you've had today and tomorrow to do the same things. So I'm sure they'll do some more of that in practice to give them that. Because they basically were practicing and went, blew the whistle, everybody get up here, and everybody stand around, let's make a kick. And so I think a little of that pressure situation. Here's one thing I do think. I do think now, because of what we've seen, I do think now if you're inside the 40-yard line, you can almost prepare yourself for four downs.
Yeah. We were talking about that yesterday, Jason. I mean, you're seeing it not just at Auburn, but all over the country. There's just a much more proclivity to go for it on fourth down.
And if down and distance isn't in your favor, if it's a really long fourth down, I think you could look at Hudson and think, hey, maybe
he does a great job.
Maybe you're trying to pin somebody deep in a situation instead of attempting.
And because if you attempt and miss that field goal from that kind of distance, you're giving a good field position.
Or if you're at the 38 and it's fourth and seven, you're going like, well, no, let's don't do that one. That's why, to me, when I see these things happen, I see so many times where coaches are throwing the ball on third and five from the 35. I'm like, well, if you know you're going to go for it on fourth down from this situation,
run it.
Then try to get five yards instead of eight.
Get a few yards.
Yes, and so I think you can prepare for that maybe in some situations.
It can be really tempting when you feel like it's automatic from 50. To sort of play for, there's not as much urgency to get the first down because we know we're getting points once we're on the opponent's side of the field. In a perfect world, Auburn would feel pretty good about having someone who could make 48, 50, 52-yard field goals because you probably – there could be a game coming up this year where
and the thing is, and in the past, I mean, Auburn's had such good kickers that you felt like you got to the – you know, got around the 35-yard line, you got a really good shot of getting points.
But you know what, and I remember, I think back to, was it 20 or 19 where Gus, every time they got to the 35, they kicked a 50-something-yard field goal with Anders, and it cost them so many times in field position. And – to me, sometimes I think it's almost better to go, you know what, here's what we're going to do. We're going to be either more aggressive or we're going to play field position. With this defense, we saw it last year. Auburn's defense was good at getting stops, but they weren't good at getting the first stop. So they got stops around the 50, and the offense took the ball back over on the 15.
Right.
And you go like, well, it's hard to go 85 yards. I think sometimes playing that helps you out a little bit and kind of knowing, all right, hey, here's we know our hand, now let's play that hand.
All right, we've come to the bottom of the hour. Go ahead and get to our break. Love for you to join in. Your thoughts, your questions for Jason, 334-321-1390 here on the Wednesday Drive.
Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Bill, Dan, Jason Caldwell here in the studio. Drew with the afternoon off. We'd love for you to join in again, 334-321-1390. All right, Jason, I mean, it's still really early, and there have been overreactions to a lot of games here early on. But, I mean, just your thoughts on how things are looking here as we're really getting ready to start SEC play.
Yeah, you know, it's still to be determined for me because I still don't like, you know, I think Oklahoma looked pretty good, but I don't know how good Michigan is.
Nope.
I think it's that way everywhere. Like, because, you know, we're looking up and you go, man, LSU went over Clemson was great. I think Troy's a solid team, but, like, you're down 16-0 at home.
Troy had great opportunities there against Clemson.
Are Florida people overreacting
to panic?
No, I
don't think so. Because of schedule.
Yeah.
That's my thing.
Schedule's so tough for them.
Yeah.
The schedule's tough, but the schedule's not the reason you scored 16 at home against South Florida.
No, but that makes
it. No, but the fact that you only scored 16 against South Florida and you have this schedule.
Because that's the thing. You go, hey, if you might think South Florida's pretty good, and I do. I think they're a solid team.
They're a pretty good G5 team.
But you look and you go, okay, well, now it's at LSU, at Miami,
Texas. At Texas A&M.
At Texas A&M. And then
that's our next four.
Yeah, and then you have Georgia. No, you have Mississippi State. Who's better?
Right.
Then Georgia. And then you have Tennessee and Florida State at the end.
Yeah.
Now, they're both at home, but, I mean, they're better.
I mean, they're only going to be favored against Mississippi State, Kentucky, and for some reason right now, when you look, they're being projected as a favorite against Florida State.
Yeah, I don't know how.
But, I mean, that would only get them to four wins.
No, I know.
If they won those three, and I'm not sure that they're going to win all three of those.
And that's the thing. And so, to me, you start looking at it and you go, if you don't win this one this week, it feels like really they haven't played good against Miami in a while.
No.
LSU, again, I think they're okay. This world-beating team, I don't see.
Well, the thing is, what we thought was, man, this defense, the LSU defense looks better, but then you saw
Clemson's offense.
That's exactly right.
Correct. And so I there's still so many questions I have. And it's the same thing for Georgia-Tennessee. I look at it and go, I think it's going to be a challenge for Georgia going to Knoxville. But I also don't know how good Tennessee is.
That is right. I think the feeling that some folks have about Tennessee is, wow, they're going to be even better than they've been offensively.
Syracuse like struggled, had to win in overtime last week. I do know this. If Tennessee beats Georgia, then that's a team that you could almost pencil in to the college playoffs, in my opinion, because after that it's UAB. They got to go to Mississippi State, which would be tough. They get Arkansas at home. They got to go to Tuscaloosa, but Kentucky – Oklahoma at home, New Mexico State, Florida Vandy.
Yeah.
It's not,
I mean, it's not a
cakewalk.
It's definitely manageable.
But if you beat Georgia, you've got to feel like that you've got
to beat
then
out anybody else.
You're going to lose three of those games because it probably takes you losing three of them not to make the playoffs.
If that. I mean, you still may with three.
You might with three, but you start going, do you see more than three losses? It'd be hard to find. So
Not if they win
Saturday. So that's it. I think – back to it, I think schedule has to impact it because it's such a drastic difference from team to team depending on what it looks like. And that's why we're talking about this start for Auburn where you go, man, what's it look like after five games with Georgia coming in? You go like, can you get to 4-1? Are you 3-2? Like, that's why, like, it didn't matter. Like, and I always said, like, the Baylor one, it didn't matter which one it was. You had to have at least one of them.
Yeah, you needed to win. Yeah.
And then can you get the second one? It doesn't matter which of the three. Now, from a feeling standpoint, it felt a lot better to win the first one.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, it's always going like how many of those games can you steal? Because you know it's Georgia and Alabama that last seven games, you got a lot of them at home. And so you feel like, okay, you got a chance to make a little hay.
That Oklahoma game, and again, we'll see, I think with both Baylor and Michigan, like, we'll see this year. And I know those two teams have very different histories as football programs, but, like, we'll see how they contend in their respective leagues and how significant those wins were. But the fact that the SEC teams avoided them, it seemingly sets up, you know, with the biggest game Hugh Freeze has coached in at Auburn. Next week in Norman, if both teams win on Saturday.
I would say to this point, yes.
Yeah, because here's the thing. Any Alabama game is always going to be big.
Right.
But when you're talking about
– first time he's coached a ranked versus ranked.
Well, that's it. So you're talking about actual – no matter – take away the uniforms.
Ranked versus ranked.
Correct.
Yes.
Which game is more impactful? Yes, that would be it. And so you look at it and go like, these are the next steps. You're like, okay, what's the next – the next step is first we've seen the talent. You win at Baylor. Baylor's probably a team because they beat SMU the other day. I still think it's probably an 8-4 team, but it's been a long time since Auburn's beaten a team like that on the road.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so you go, okay, that's the first step. Now, can you take care of business? You did it last week. Can you do that again on Saturday? You do that, then you've given yourself a chance to then turn it loose.
And when you're talking about teams on the road and getting an idea, I mean, we talked about that Oklahoma Michigan this week. A&M's at Notre Dame, and that's a really big ball game for Notre Dame that they get off to an 0-2 start.
It is. And again, we saw them play Miami, and then they were off early.
Right.
I thought their lines of scrimmage weren't very good. I thought the young quarterback competed and got after it. A&M, like, again, haven't been overwhelming. And they played, UT San Antonio's pretty good team, not bad. So you start talking, okay, what have you seen, out of those groups? And so, that's an intriguing one. Oklahoma, going to Temple is just different. I don't think they'll have any issues with them, but there are some games where you look at this weekend going, okay, that can be fun. And I think you know, everybody's like, oh, week one. I don't think we start really learning anything to this week. I think you get a couple of weeks now, everybody can start, you know, because, again, we don't know how good Clemson, you know, how good those teams are. I think you start to actually get a feel for what teams really are now that they played a couple of games.
Well, it's yeah, as we said, I mean, really starting to get into SEC play, and Arkansas is at Ole Miss. I mean, I don't really know what to expect
out of
either one of them.
No, but I know this. Kentucky was hanging around, and I don't think that's a very good football team. You know, Ole Miss going his first time on a road for Austin Simmons. You look at what Arkansas has done offensively against
this might as well be the opener, right, for Arkansas.
Correct, it is.
Yeah,
it is.
Right.
It's been two preseason games for them, but they've played their starters.
By the way, they've got Notre Dame coming to Fayetteville in a couple of weeks.
But you look at it and you go, what do we know? We know Bobby Petrino can coach offense. They got a pretty athletic quarterback that can make some plays. Ole Miss has had to rebuild the entire defense pretty much. Would I be surprised if that game was 35-31 in the fourth quarter? I wouldn't be.
I wouldn't either.
I could see that.
No, yeah. I mean, and to Jason's point, like that Kentucky-Ole Miss game was a one-score game for,
The last probably 8 minutes.
Yeah, well, Ole Miss makes it 10 with a handful of minutes. You know, what happened with – I mean, more – we're – about 4 minutes left in the game, I think, when Ole Miss kicks the field goal to make it 10.
And then they tack one on late or something like that, maybe again. I don't know. But it was
– No, then Kentucky kicks the field goal
not where it wouldn't cover.
That was a much closer – I think folks, especially after Kentucky's underwhelming first game, folks were like, oh, this Ole Miss team going to get revenge with a – you know, with a multi-score blowout in Lexington, and that is not the way that game played out. And I suspect Arkansas is a better offense than Kentucky.
I don't think it's not even close.
Yeah. I mean, so
I'm more than suspect.
Now, Kentucky defensively is probably better.
Yeah, they are.
But yeah. Offensively, I don't think Kentucky's half of what Arkansas is offensively. I think Kentucky's the worst offense in this league. I think they're 16. I don't think there's anybody else that's worse than Kentucky.
That was a really close game in Lexington for an offense that you think is going to be the worst
and
one.
One where you expected Ole Miss was going to, you know, be motivated because they got beaten at home by Kentucky last year.
And Ole Miss has Tulane coming up as well, which is another opportunity for a group of five school to put a big win on the board. You know, the American already has the South Florida win in Gainesville. They'd love to add a Tulane win in Oxford later this season. Tulane just played South Florida over the weekend in a game that was
South Alabama had a shot to surprisingly a 2-point conversion away from sending it to overtime. So I mean, there's still a lot to be learned about an awful lot of teams, but there's enough. I mean, there are pretty much questions about everybody still.
What's your sense on Georgia going to Tennessee? It's Gunnar Stockton's first true road game as Georgia starter. Tennessee has looked great. I think their opponents have been kind of overmatched the last couple of weeks. Georgia's a different story. If Georgia beats Tennessee, Alabama, and Auburn, and they're undefeated when the Auburn game is over, they're probably the best team in the country.
I don't think there's any question.
I mean, they'll have an excellent argument to be number one at that point. This is the beginning of that gauntlet.
I think Tennessee is good enough defensively. Georgia, Gunnar Stockton, they have not thrown the ball very well at all. I've heard people like, oh, you know, their issue was running the football, and they've run it a lot better. Well, they've also played Marshall and a FCS school, a good one, but it was still an FCS school. I don't know that Georgia can score enough points to win, and I don't think Tennessee scores a bunch. But I just don't see Georgia scoring more than 24. They struggled last week scoring that many at home. They've run it some. I think this Tennessee team is going to be really physical, and people talking about stacking the line of scrimmage. My guess is Tennessee's fixing to come after him and say, you're going to have to throw the football to beat us.
You remember that Carson Beck game at Jordan-Hare and how Auburn just tried to rattle his cage all game long, and if it wasn't for, Brock Bowers in the fourth quarter?
That's it. And so I think you're going to see the same things. I think you're going to see Tennessee come after him. And you know, don't let him run it, But I think make him throw the football. And the Georgia's added some weapons outside, but so far they haven't done a whole lot to this point.
Going to be an interesting weekend indeed. We'll get to our final break this hour and then to the phone lines, 334-321-1390. Stick with us here on the Wednesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
Welcome back into The Drive, final segment of hour number one. Brett, if you got a chance, give us a call back. We lost him. We've got Jason Caldwell with us for a few more minutes here on the Wednesday Drive. So let's see. What else? A couple of other things. I mean, we've seen seen a couple of other things.
Yeah, we can do SEC baseball schedule.
Yeah.
I want to do
yeah.
that real quick. We're just talking about scheduling matters. I saw somebody's like, "Oh man, that's brutal!" Like, nah, it's
SEC it is what it is.
Now Arkansas caught a big break in SEC baseball schedule.
I didn't see that.
Let me see if I can find theirs before a while. We can look through and run through Auburn's schedule really quick. But you look at, you know, obviously what you're going to have to face. You know, it's going to be difficult, no matter who you play. But Auburn opened at Missouri, which is not ideal in the middle of March.
No,
it's going to be really cold.
It will.
Windy.
No, you're right. That's it. I was about to say no, maybe not, but no, you're right. That's going to be
middle of March. Rough. Yeah. You get Texas and Oklahoma at home, which is, I think, is really cool. As far as I know, Bill, that'd be the first time for them here. I don't remember those teams playing.
Yeah,
in
you're
Auburn,
right. I don't either.
In baseball, so you get Texas at home week two, at Alabama early week three. So that is extremely early. Normally, Auburn at Alabama is on graduation weekend at Tuscaloosa. It's always that time. But then you get Arkansas, Kentucky at home, at Florida, Oklahoma, at Texas A&M, at Mississippi State, and Georgia. So you look and go, that's it's rough.
Yeah, where's the break?
And you go early on, Missouri and some of those things. But you look at the flip side, Texas. Texas misses Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, and LSU.
Wow.
So they don't have to play Arkansas, Florida, or LSU. Now, Auburn doesn't play LSU.
That is really
Vandy,
odd.
Vandy, Tennessee.
It's really odd that Auburn's not playing LSU.
Yeah.
And
Ole Miss. You're not playing Ole Miss either.
Yeah.
But, you know, you look at Oklahoma, it's like some of these Oklahomas, at Texas A&M, at LSU, at Texas, Alabama, at Vandy, Missouri, at Auburn, Florida, at Arkansas, Tennessee. So their road trips are LSU, Texas, Vandy, Auburn, Arkansas. That's pretty rough.
Yeah, it is.
Meanwhile, Arkansas misses LSU, Tennessee, Texas, Texas A&M, and Vandy. That's as good as it
that
gets.
That is really.
I mean, you're going to get difficult matchups no matter what, but that's about as good as it gets. But Auburn overall, Texas, Oklahoma, home.
In a league as loaded as this one,
you're going to face good
teams. Just feels like, yeah, it's tough to have we were talking about it in football, the thought that, and by the way, if things break right for Auburn's opponents, Auburn could be in Oklahoma's position. Oklahoma's, I don't know if you've seen this, that in football, Oklahoma's eight conference opponents are all in the top 25
right now.
Eight of them.
I think Florida has eight ranked teams remaining because of Florida State and five of them
and Miami.
And five of them are on the road.
Yep. Yeah. Florida's got 10 opponents left. Florida's got 10 Power 5 opponents left.
Yeah.
And seven or eight of them are currently in the top 25.
Eight ranked and five on the road.
And Auburn, I mean, if teams like Vandy and Arkansas win this weekend,
then you will have that. Of course, when you have is there nine or ten ranked teams? Right?
11. Yeah. 11 ranked teams.
So when you have 11, you have 11 ranked.
And Vandy's not ranked.
They're not ranked.
Crazy, and they should be.
Which is
crazy.
I
think I picked Vandy, but I thought that's going to be a challenge. And it was for a half. And
it was, but they dominated.
Stomped a mud hole in Virginia.
Yes, they did.
I think that's a confident, healthy.
We know it's confident.
And Vandy, South Carolina is a really good team.
I think that's
that's one we didn't talk about because Auburn, I mean, you play Vandy later. You don't play South Carolina. South Carolina hasn't been overwhelming to me. They've had a bunch of special teams, touchdowns.
They go to Missouri next week, too. Like, it's gut check time for South Carolina a little bit. Yeah. These are two quality SEC games to start things off.
Yeah, no, I think it's, you know, obviously if you win them and you've already beaten Virginia Tech and you would have beaten those teams, you go, okay, you feel pretty good about the start. But I do. I think that's a war because it's very similar quarterback guys that just kind of make plays. Is that at night?
Are we get yeah, a, we get that's, a the night, that's the night. That's the night game. Oh, yeah.
Of course, there's a bunch of good ones.
I think Arkansas.
That's one good Texas thing about
A&M Notre Dame Saturday is night game
yeah,
too.
The rare NBC game for us that we're going to be talking about. Yeah, the Peacock game, and then SEC SC Network and ESPN2 have SEC games that night as well.
Jason, always great having you with us. Let everybody know what all they can find and how they can get it.
Yep, check us out auburnundercover.com, part of the 24/7 network. You can find us on YouTube, Instagram, all those places to check out our podcast stuff. We'll have our show tomorrow, and got tons of shows throughout the week as well, so come find us over there.
All right, thanks a lot, Jason. We'll see you at the stadium.
Sounds good.
All right, that is going to wrap things up for hour number one of the Wednesday Drive. We're wide open in hour number two, so come on in and join us.
Reynolds Outdoors, they're all about hunting and fishing. Free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Wednesday Drive. Hope everybody having a good Wednesday. It's a little bit warmer today, back up into the, into the upper 80s, headed up a little bit as we head toward this weekend. Our thanks to Jason Caldwell from Auburn Undercover. Spent hour number one of the Wednesday Drive here with us in the studio. I hope you had a chance to hear Jason. If you missed any of it, definitely check out the podcast.
That's right. Podcasts of The Drive, available wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Go to ESPNAU.com and use the podcast platform, or go to your favorite podcasting platform and search for The Drive with Bill Cameron. It's all presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. And yeah, Jason was great in hour number one, not only looking around the SEC at some really big games this weekend, but also, yeah, taking a good look at what Auburn has done well through two games, what concerns you may have. I think, Jason, not overreacting by any stretch, but, pointing out, like, there are some things that Hugh Freeze would like to see this team improve on Saturday before they go to Oklahoma.
And I wonder, we talked about it a little bit yesterday. It's hard to force that. One of the things that Jason was talking about was that South Alabama has struggled against the run. Well, if Auburn can run the ball, they may not be in the situation of being able to force, working on the deep passing game. I mean, of course, it's easier to do it. If you're running, then you can throw it whenever you want. But you do wonder about situations when Auburn gets faced with third and long, and it's going to happen. It's going to happen in SEC play, where you're going to need to be able to protect and have guys running deeper routes and to be able to make those throws.
I do wonder how much the plan changes from last week to this week as far as exposing Jackson to hits in the South Alabama game, if there's still a desire for Auburn to work on the offense without necessarily asking Jackson to tote it nearly as much as he did, say, in the Baylor game.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, I think there's still the desire to see the offense improve other ways. I think there's more side-to-side stuff this offense could be doing, whether it's the sweeps,
right?
Whether it's the pop
sweeps,
the jet sweep, mm-hmm. pop passes. Mm-hmm. We're seeing some real quick swings out of the backfield. Like, I think there's the possibility for that, because teams have to be so worried about other things this offense does, and we've seen Auburn work on that over the last couple of weeks. You still want to see Auburn go downfield. Jackson and these receivers are built to go downfield.
Yeah, we really haven't seen it. There was about a 30-yard pass to Eric. I guess has been one of the longer pass plays that we've seen through two games.
Yeah, is that the touchdown off and even that, feels like Auburn setting up in a heavy formation. They're showing run and they run Eric,
on a wheel route.
They sort of slip him out, and so I think the most impressive passing play of the season might be the third down you absolutely had to have to Horatio at in the Baylor game. Mm-hmm. I thought the pass to Malcolm earlier in the game was a really nice ball too, because it's in traffic with a couple of guys, and Malcolm didn't seem to be the first read on that play. So no, we've seen Auburn when tested this year come through, but it's early, and obviously you want to see you'd like to see. To me, it's not so much about what this offense needs to improve on. I mean, I think there are, you know, I think it's trending in the right direction. It's some of the other things, you know, the things that didn't necessarily work against Baylor defensively, some of the special teams concerns.
You're going to see that. I mean, this Ball State team could not, you know, replicate. And there are a lot of teams that can't do everything that Sawyer Robertson and Baylor could do. But I think you're going to see more things to try to test the Auburn defense. They're going to test, you know, how well the linebackers and the under coverage, you know, with how's Auburn going to do against that. There will be some tests for the corners. There haven't been many, but, I mean, there's still some questions about that. And Auburn's got, what, 10 sacks through two games? They're going to need to keep that kind of pressure up to prevent some big pass breaks.
And a week from now, when Auburn is facing off with Oklahoma, John Mateer's a guy who can extend plays with his legs. He can keep things.
He's a guy that's run for over 1,000 yards in his career, 800 yards rushing last year.
Did a great job not just advancing the ball against Michigan, but eluding defenders in the backfield and eventually finding his guys. So you're gonna need to strain for longer than you need to borrow.
That's become a popular thing. I mean, the first time Hugh Freeze said that, I thought, well, that's interesting. And now it's like he's mentioned it all the time. He's been asked about it, what he means.
Yeah, and he, you know, the easiest way to describe it is the opposite of relax.
Yeah,
I think that's like, because he's talking about guys sort of letting their guard down.
It's like don't stop after a second or two is what he's talking about. It's like continue
assuming
through the as long as you can for the play.
Assuming that the play is over or the play is mostly over and your work is done too early,
right,
has apparently been a problem at times for both sides of the ball. And Hugh Freeze wants to see more finishing and wants to see more guys, continuing on. You don't want guys playing after the whistle, obviously, because that opens you up.
No, but you'd like to play to the whistle.
Yeah, it's interesting to hear Hugh Freeze describe it as maybe
strange.
Guys looking to and citing
it's more in pass protection
and citing that maybe the quick whistles in preseason camp conditioned guys to only strain for a couple of seconds and then relax, assuming the play is going to be over. And apparently, in the first couple of games, there have been instances where. Hey, play's not over. Like you need to still, you've relaxed too early. You need to keep straining. And so, that can, especially when you're talking about a quarterback that can extend plays or a defense that can sort of force. I mean, either side of the ball. Like that's something Hugh Freeze. I mean, he mentioned the number of loafs in the Baylor game too. Right. Said it was way down week one to week two. Like that's just. That, I guess that's one of the advantages of having the kind of depth Auburn has, is that you don't have a player who is so valuable that he can give.
You don't have many players. I'd say you've got a few that are pretty. Keldrick.
But if effort were a problem,
Keldrick's never been one to be concerned with about that.
And if it were, I feel like you still have players that would allow you to send him to the bench and send a message potentially if effort were a problem. It's not to say thankfully it's not. Like, thankfully, the best players on this team are also guys where it's
effort.
Exactly. But that's one of the advantages, is that seemingly you can go to the bench just about anywhere and say, all right, well, there's another guy ready to play your position if you're not, and you will see some of him. And I, that point we made yesterday, Bill, the caller asking about how the tackles have done and the idea that you – look, they could pull either of them for too tall at a moment's notice. If it were a problem,
right?
And they haven't done that.
No, well, I think they've been very pleased with their run blocking. Very pleased with the run blocking, and the pass blocking has been okay. But they want more. They want more out of that because Auburn has not been in a situation where they have to throw, and that's what I was talking about a little while ago. I mean, it's going to come at some time where Auburn is going to have to prove that they can beat a team throwing the ball down the field.
Oh, certainly. I mean, I don't think teams – I would be shocked, even with Jackson's ability to run the ball, forcing teams to sort of rethink their numbers and how they want to play this. You can't imagine teams taking the Baylor approach very often, right? And saying, all right, we're going to be so worried about getting beaten deep on either side with Cam or – I mean, there was a – not I mean, look, they had Cam got a lot of attention too. But early on in that game, it was apparent – that there was going to be a player above Eric Singleton's side of the ball all game long. And it was, and I thought at times maybe Baylor played games with, is one high, is it too high? I know Hugh Freeze said that, you know, it was too high the entire game. Like, I thought at times they were maybe trying to move one guy, you know, but there was somebody on above Eric Singleton. And if teams are that concerned about explosive plays from the Auburn passing game, it will be easier to run the ball than it's been for Auburn in the past. Because in the past, teams haven't been as afraid of Auburn hitting explosive passing plays.
No. And Auburn hadn't had the players that would put that fear into them.
So I mean, there is some logic behind Baylor's approach, and I do wonder if teams will at times sort of assume that maybe they can win with their front seven and put a little bit more back in coverage. But I mean, Auburn can't assume they're going to see those kind of fronts all season long. You're right; they need to be ready to attack anything the defense gives them, and it does feel like with this group and with Jackson feeling confident about the things this offense asks him to do, Auburn can attack a defense that you know, regardless of, I mean, look, there are going to be, if you've simply got better players, if your guys are winning their one-on-one matchups, Auburn's moves are somewhat limited there strategically. Yeah. Absent that, Auburn's got some versatility here. Like, Auburn's got some way. If you want to overplay the pass, Auburn's going to run it at you with the quarterbacks, with the running backs, with the receivers, potentially in the sweep game. If you want to overplay the pass, like Baylor did, you know, that can happen. If you want to overplay the run, Auburn seemingly has a quarterback and receivers that can win their matchups too.
Going to be interesting just Saturday. As Jason was saying, I had not, really gone through the stats. I'd looked at the leaders and things like that for South Alabama, but if they struggle stopping the run, then you would think that they'll have a bunch of people in the box trying to, you know, keep Auburn from just doing what they did against Baylor, and maybe that does give you the opportunity to work on that passing game and see if you can throw it a little deeper, not just run RPOs the way they did this past week against Ball State.
Yeah, we'll want to see what Auburn does. Also, you know, I thought it was really interesting that it was so Jeremiah Cobb based against Ball State, and I know they wanted to get him going. I wonder if it's going to be predominantly Jeremiah Cobb early, or if they work Omar in a little bit sooner. I'm still pessimistic on Damari playing this Saturday.
I am too, and I keep hearing, well, you know, no, it's not like they want to hold him out. They want to play him if they can. I still think, boy, you want as healthy a Damari Alstead and complete team as healthy as possible going into Norman.
If Auburn were at Oklahoma this week, you know, would they be, would the plan for Damari be different at all? I don't know. I think so. I think it still depends on how he feels. You know what I mean? And if he feels like he's ready for contact, then maybe the timing just works out for them. But if Damari can't go,
you'd hate for him to go. Yeah, I feel good. My shoulder's fine. Put him out there and it bangs it up, and he can't go on the road trip to Oklahoma and Texas A&M or something like that. Then you'd really feel bad. If you put him out there, you've got to be 100% sure that not only he says he feels good, but doctors say, hey, it's not going to get any worse if he gets hit.
Jeremiah's a big play threat, too.
Yes,
I mean, we've speculated on it. There have been, you know, glimpses of it, especially in preseason. But you saw it a couple times. Like, he's got some runaway. And I think I think you might see a little bit more of that if South Alabama is concerned about Auburn hitting those pass plays.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. And we'll get to a call before we get to our first break this hour.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Good. With respect to the game Saturday, you know, we're talking about the offense. Coach and the staff, it's would be your ample time to open up your passing game. We have got to show, we can run the ball. You know, that's been proven. The O-line can fire off. But we have got to show some explosiveness in that passing game. And this will be the perfect time this week to work on that. You should be throwing that ball a minimum of 30 times Saturday. Minimum. Just because of, you know, time to air out the offense. So
I mean, they had Jackson throw at, what, 28 on Saturday again, and he was out of the game early in the fourth quarter. I forget exactly when Deuce's first series was. And it was, and I know they didn't go downfield a ton against Ball State. But I think, yes, I mean, some of that is sort of dictated by what the defense is daring you or allowing you to do. I just, yeah, I would be surprised if South Alabama was willing to let Auburn have second and two all game long. Right? It feels like that's a losing strategy.
Oh, yeah.
For this, it's just like, all right,
I think they have to play an extra guy or two in the box if they've struggled against the run, considering the way Auburn's run the ball. And that should open up. And yeah, you want to see, and I'm not talking about every pass being 30 yards downfield. I want to see some 15-yard. Are you going to use this? Are you going to use the middle of the field? You know, first down plus yardage downfield.
Yeah, we have got to start imposing our will. You know, we have the superior talent receivers. You know, I'm somewhat frustrated with that. Not frustrated with the results of the team. They're playing well, but I want to see that offense unleashed, because you're going to need that, as you mentioned, Bill, at Oklahoma.
You are. I mean, I'm not frustrated though, Jeff, because I think what's happened the first couple of ball games has been, hey, it's obvious they're giving you this, and I do want a quarterback and an offense that, if they're giving you something, go ahead and take it. But yeah, eventually they're not going to be giving you these things. You're going to need to be able to make other plays. So yeah, I'd love to be able to see them do it.
That's exactly my point. You got to think the competition as well. Oklahoma is going to be way step up. So you're not going to be able to just do that. We have to be able to unleash. I don't want to have to go into a game like that not knowing whether we can do it or not. I know we have the talent, but I want to see it happen before the Oklahoma game. So, you know, we have something to look forward to.
I got the sense from practice, Jeff, this week that and we saw a couple of them. I wonder if they'd really like to see Jackson, you know, connect on a deep ball or two to these receivers to also just, you know, put the fear of that in.
Yeah.
You know, as much as you'd like to hold off and keep, you know, play the cards close to the vest and have Oklahoma wondering what Auburn can do.
Although I would think Oklahoma has an idea what Jackson can do.
I would think that if any school in college football has an idea about what Jackson Arnold can do, it's the one that he was playing for last year. But I still think Auburn, would love for Jackson and for these receivers and for the whole team to see, to see a connection on a deep shot, even if it's. Even if it's not necessarily going to be the difference between winning and losing this game, one would think.
Yeah, I agree. You know, with the depth, you know, those two front line backs, Alston, of course, Robinson is out. But I wouldn't think of playing Alston this week. We don't, you know, we shouldn't have to need him other than, get a little rust off of him. But he's not banged up, you know, he's not rusty enough where he could use another week off. We're going to need him, every bit of him, in this Oklahoma game. Mm-hmm. So if I'm the coaching staff, I let him go through his reps this week, but, you know, I wouldn't count on him playing this week.
No, I'd want to have all my chips ready when we go to Oklahoma.
And he's also, you know, maybe if he were new to the team or new to college football, right, like maybe it would be more urgent for Damari to get reps and get experience. And yes, he's new to playing with Jackson Arnold, but I think they feel about as confident and as comfortable with what a healthy Damari gives them. I mean, Hugh Freeze, as excited as people were for the shiny new toys, you know, as excited as everyone was for Omar and Alvin and Darrell to get out there, Hugh Freeze was quick to tell you every time he was asked in the preseason, Damari's the most talented, most complete running back on the team right now. I don't think rushing him back for homecoming with Oklahoma a week later is the right strategy, unless he thinks he's 100% on Saturday and feeling great. And with shoulders, you know, maybe you're erring on the side of caution because of how quickly they can be tested out in the game if you're trying to run between the tackles as a running back.
Yeah, I agree. We have got to give Oklahoma plenty of to think about. That's the strategy going into this game next week. They can't just let them think that we're going to be a threat just running the ball. You know, we have to unleash that offense. So you know, with all due respect to South Alabama, whether they thinking they can stop it, we have to impose our will on them. You know, if we want to be a top-level team, this is what you have to do. Impose your will, irregardless of whether they want to stop it or not. You know, we have to show Oklahoma that we're multifaceted on offense. I think the defense will be there. So we'll see, but we have to open that offense up just by design, not whether this is what they're giving us. You know, because at some point you're going to have to do that. So, well, we'll see. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. Good hearing from you, Jeff. Yep, we will see. I mean, again, it's one of those times where you wonder how easily it would come when you're talking about that early morning game against a team that is so supercharged, while the challenge for Auburn is to be focused, see if they can. You were talking about it early on. You'd love to be able to, you know, have the game in control early on. That's something that many times in these early ball games, especially with a big ball game coming up the next week, is difficult to do.
You got to be real careful. I mean, Clemson was talking like that before the Troy game.
That is right. And it was 16. You look up and they're down 16.
16, and you've got zero at the half.
Right.
I mean, I think Troy having 16 is one thing, right? Clemson having none. Clemson sitting on the goose egg at the half was
it was crazy.
Yeah, I mean we've seen a mixed bag with Sun Belt teams going and playing major conference opponents this year, because you had, I mean, yeah, Troy played Clemson kind of close. Georgia Southern got destroyed by USC. Georgia State ran into Ole Miss in week one. That game wasn't close. Texas State going to Arizona State this weekend. A lot of folks think that game could be, you know, sandwiched between Mississippi State and Baylor for Arizona State. Suddenly, you know, they could be, feeling a little bit of pressure. But yeah, I think Auburn would love to make this one feel as comfortable as possible as early as possible.
No question. Hey, we'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. We need to get to our first break of hour number two. Come on in and join us here on the Wednesday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
Opening on
ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio. And again, I'd love to hear from you, your thoughts on Auburn up to this point. Any of the other ball games going on this weekend? We've talked about quite a few of them. Really interesting in the SEC. What are the games, some of the other games outside the Southeastern Conference that really are interesting this weekend?
Well, we mentioned Notre Dame A&M isn't outside of the Southeastern Conference. That's cheating, I suppose. But you've got it's a week where seemingly the SEC really takes center stage. I think you've got
as I look through the top 25.
South Florida, Miami is kind of an obvious one, because they're both ranked. You know, it's one of the a handful of is that the only?
I think that may be the only ranked matchup that doesn't involve an SEC school.
That does not involve an SEC school, because you got Georgia, Tennessee, and Notre Dame, A&M. But that one's on. Remember, folks, the CW. So be ready. Well, Bill knows the buttons.
I know the trick now.
Bill knows the buttons he needs to push to get the CW. What do you think of? I think Clemson going to Georgia Tech.
That'll be interesting. Clemson. I mean, I think everybody expected to bounce back and play really well against Troy, which they did not. They did play well in the second half, but I like Brent Key and Georgia Tech and Haynes King. I mean,
that's an early game, and Clemson suddenly looking like, I mean,
they're a bunch of good early games.
A team ranked as highly in the preseason as Clemson, going 1-2 to start the year, suddenly feeling a lot of urgency, because I don't know if 9-3 is going to get you into the playoff out of the ACC.
Yeah,
maybe
in the SEC or the Big Ten.
Maybe 10-3 winning the conference. You know, it's one thing, but Clemson could be in early trouble with a loss to Georgia Tech team that's feeling really confident after the slow start to Colorado, to come back and win that game and then have the win over Gardner-Webb, where they just did whatever they want. That's a dangerous game for Clemson to suddenly find themselves in on the road. That's an early key ACC showdown in that league.
Yeah, I mean, because you're right. I mean, as I look up and down, I don't see a whole lot of other games outside the SEC that I go, wow, I've just got to keep up with that. But they're really good games involving the SEC schools. I mean, and some of them, like the Arkansas-Ole Miss game, don't get a whole lot of talk. LSU-Florida, this is, I mean, is LSU as good as they looked against Clemson? Does the fact that Clemson struggled this past week make you think, well, maybe LSU's not that good? Look,
does Florida
Garrett Nussmeier can sling it, and LSU's offense, I think, can be very potent. Is LSU's defense that good, or is Florida's offense that bad?
That's what I need to know, Bill. Does Florida have the offense?
Yeah, I don't know.
I feel like we've been suckered in.
DJ Lagway. I mean, It's like, man, they were so much better when DJ Lagway took over. Now it's like they scored 16 points against South Florida.
And DJ Lagway was okay in the South Florida game, you know, but he's 222 yards on 33 attempts.
Yeah.
They were about 4 yards a carry on the ground. You know, he only ran it 6 times for 9 yards. Like, it was I think it's not exactly the game you think when an American, even though South Florida's good, an American conference team coming to your building. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, I mean, here's the thing. If Auburn is held to 16 points on Saturday,
oh,
win or lose, if you're talking about Auburn finishing,
Auburn's held under 20. I mean, say Auburn wins 18-16.
And it's got nothing to do with who you play next week or in 2 weeks. You're concerned.
Yes, you
are. And Florida just scored 16 at home to South Florida. Now they're going
at home.
Now they're going to Baton Rouge. Yeah. I don't like it. I don't either. I think these next couple of weeks could be a real series of punches to Florida if they don't straighten things out. Because I mean, you look and you're playing three of the top seven in the next three. You know, your next three games. Like, you're playing LSU, Miami, I mean, and Florida, and Texas.
Games Saturday night. I mean, there's some really interesting games. I mean, you've got the Florida LSU, Texas A&M, Notre Dame, and Vandy South Carolina games all starting within 15 minutes of each other.
And Arkansas Ole Miss is a 6 o'clock game.
Ooh, that's right.
That's the ESPN game that night too. So I mean, you'll have the quad view, multi screens.
I definitely will have multi view.
You could be could be watching. And since Auburn will be over at that point too, and Bama's early as well, right? Bama's 11 a.m.
11 o'clock.
So I mean, you'll have some of the in state action over with, and you're right, mm-hmm. some big games in conference. And then you've also got that A&M Notre Dame game, but three big conference games. And hard to call, right? I mean, you look in Vandy, South Carolina, and
I like Vandy.
I like Vandy. I think I would probably take Ole Miss to win. I wouldn't check.
Yeah, I definitely take
think
Ole Miss.
I think an Arkansas cover wouldn't be all that shocking. And what is it, 9-10, I think is around that number.
A&M, Notre Dame. I think A&M should win, but man, Notre Dame starting 0-2 and this one at home.
I need to see Florida snap out of it offensively. I'll tell you that one. Like, I need to see that because
I don't believe it right now.
I don't believe it either, and I would take LSU and maybe even LSU comfortably because of that. Too. Like, that's not the place to go when you've got offensive problems.
No.
Like,
and LSU has lost some games to the Gators that they're not happy with over the years,
including
too, so.
Last season.
Yeah,
is one of them. So I think that's the thought that because Florida lost to South Florida, LSU is going to take them lightly.
Overlook the Gators.
That's not how it's going to work. And
LSU's looking for blood. If
no,
they get it.
And I think they could. Yeah, and they would love. And yeah, and you don't know if. I mean, we think that game's on the schedule next year. I mean, it's
I don't know. Maybe that'll be one of their rival games.
Maybe, but I mean, you don't know the next time that one's played either. So I mean, it could be a send off mm-hmm. for LSU. And yeah, they'd love to, you know. And Billy's a Louisiana guy.
Yeah, that's right.
Like they'd love to finish him off. I have no idea. Notre Dame, A&M. Like I think. Notre Dame.
This is one that'll really be worth watching, though, because if A&M goes in there and handles Notre Dame comfortably, then yeah, that's maybe A&M is finally ready to make that step that that everybody's been thinking they're going to make for the last 5 years.
They put together a pretty good season in year one under Elko. It went off the rails at the end with the losses to Auburn and Texas. But I mean, when Auburn, like, they were considered a playoff team.
Well, they were a playoff team before Auburn beat them.
Yeah, that's part of the reason that there was such excitement around the Auburn victory night. If Notre Dame, if A&M goes to Notre Dame and wins with a bye week, and then Auburn at home, State at home, Florida at home, Arkansas and Fayetteville, the next four after that, like, they could rattle off some wins.
Yeah,
and if you're coming back from you're coming back from South Bend victorious, you can feel like you can take on the world. So A&M, that's Notre Dame, it just feels like, you know, this team lost the national championship game last year. Like, they're 0-2 to start the year. I know it's Miami and A&M, but are they're starting the year 0-2? Like,
the thing is, with the schedule that Notre Dame has, who do they have that they could beat that would get them in for sure as a 10-2?
Who moves the needle?
USC, the next best team they play.
The only other team in the top 25. Well, actually, no. Is USC in the top 25?
I don't think they are.
I mean, so the only I don't believe there's a team in the top 25 left on the schedule for Notre Dame.
So I mean, an 0-2 start may knock them out of the playoff.
No, they probably need to. If it turns into a beauty pageant, they probably need this win over A&M, and they probably could use A&M being pretty good. I mean, look, Arkansas could be ranked, and Notre Dame goes there.
Yeah, maybe
in a couple of weeks, Arkansas needs to beat Ole Miss for that to happen. Notre Dame's, like, I'd say Notre Dame and Florida, even though they're in very different situations, they both find themselves backs against the wall.
Yeah, Florida, because Billy Napier's seat is about to be flaming.
Yeah,
Notre Dame is not that way for Marcus Freeman, but I mean their playoff hopes could really be in serious trouble 2 games in.
Clemson in a similar situation, too. I'd say there are three teams that were rated really highly in the preseason where it's going to be tough on Sunday to say we can realistically achieve most of those preseason goals.
If they lose
on Saturday, and it's early. Mm-hmm. It's early in the season to be looking in the mirror.
It's not mid-September yet.
Auburn had to do that last year, Bill. And Auburn was in a different situation than those teams, because Auburn wasn't a preseason top 15 team. But having a look, after week three,
when your pretty much your hopes are dashed.
Yeah, when you're saying in week three, it's like, all right, how do we navigate a 500 record in conference?
Yeah.
Like, what games feel like you can, like, when you're doing that 3 games into the season, it's very different than the unbridled optimism that you had before kickoff week one. Clemson, Florida. I would say Notre Dame. Yeah, I mean, you got some teams. If you've already lost one, if Wisconsin were a bit better on paper, you might be saying this
Alabama.
Alabama.
If Alabama were to lose, I mean, then sure.
Ooh, I'll tell you what. The longer that game's close,
no kidding,
the less fun people are going to be having in that stadium.
That is an 11 o'clock game, which sometimes you worry about those at home.
Just like Auburn and South Alabama. I know Auburn hasn't lost yet, but like both of those games, the longer they're close, the less it's going to be a party, and the more it's going to be something decidedly different.
All right, we need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Plenty of time for you to join in. 334-321-1390. Come on in here on the Wednesday Drive.
Reynolds Outdoors, they're all about hunting and fishing and loving the great outdoors every day. And if you are too, you'll love the great selection of guns and ammo, bows and arrows, rods and reels, gear and apparel. As an independent family business, Reynolds Outdoors can offer top brand names at Home Blacker Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. September is our clearance event. Every pre-owned vehicle has been drastically reduced for immediate sale. We have Fords, Dodges, Jeeps, Rams, Chevrolet, Honda, Toyotas, Nissan, Volkswagen, Mercedes-Benz, Hyundais, and Kias. Low mileage, one owner vehicles. And we want to buy your car, truck, or SUV. We'll pay you top dollar for it. Don't waste time with any online buyers. We pay more for it and write you a check. It's time to shake things.
Welcome back into the drive. Final 20 minutes here on this Wednesday. Bill and Dan. And, yeah, we were looking at games around the SEC. We did see, as Jason was saying, the Auburn has released its baseball and softball schedules.
Yeah, it is crazy. Before we pivot to baseball there, but it's wild how many familiar names, and I guess, I mean, direct Auburn connections, too, when we talk about some of these games. Arkansas Ole Miss. Hey, it's, you know, you've got Travis as the defense mm-hmm. coordinator there at Arkansas, and Petrino. You know, Bobby Petrino is somebody with some pretty direct Auburn ties. The Michigan game that we talked about a little bit, but Chip Lindsey's the OC up there at Michigan.
Oh, I'd forgotten
these days. You've got Trey Williams is coming in to coach, former Auburn linebacker. Yeah. He was on the 17 team. He's the outside linebackers coach at South Alabama, highly thought of.
And Bobby Petrino's brother, by the way, is the offensive coordinator.
We were talking about South Florida after getting that huge win over Florida. Cody Burns is coaching the receivers down in Tampa for Alex Golish. He's by the way, I mean, you
gotta
look at
got to be one of the hottest names as far as guys that could move up.
Because his resume isn't just he's winning at South Florida. It's that he was the right-hand man for Heupel. Mm-hmm. At UCF and at Tennessee, and now he's winning at Florida at South Florida as a head coach and a play caller. Cody's the co-offensive coordinator, but Golish is somebody who seems and he's 40 something like
yeah,
that
40.
Too. Like yeah, I mean
just,
he's
it, well, he's 41. I guess
he's gonna be he'll be somebody who could have a long bright future. Ahead of him, and it's just crazy to think all these weird Auburn ties that pop up seemingly every time we talk about any of these places.
Yeah, no kidding. But some fun games that we were looking at a little while ago, going on around the country.
I think Troopers at A&M coaching with Elko.
Right. That's right.
I think Looper is at Missouri.
I believe
he's working with Eli.
Is he still there?
Yeah, he's working with Eli Drinkwitz, who is another guy.
There are some Auburn ties there at Missouri.
Yeah, and that's another coach that, with the way. Do you know?
I really didn't know what to expect from Missouri.
I like that quarterback. I like Bo. You know, Jake mentioned it yesterday. Bo Prabula. I think he was on the Penn State team that beat Auburn.
Is that right?
In Jordan Hare. I think he was on that team and has since transferred to Missouri.
I just wonder, man, how good was Sam Horn for this to be such a battle? Because Prabula has looked really good
sometimes,
through the first couple of ball games.
Sometimes guys with Prabula's skill set, though, you don't know exactly what they can do until you start playing real tackle football, right? Because a guy like Prabula, with his legs being able to get
Horn's
away.
Horn's supposed to be the guy that's the more athletic one, I thought.
Horn's a big-time athlete. Horn's a pitcher, too, though, right? Like, I mean, Horn's a guy I would wonder how much of it is, like, is the arm strength.
But
Prabula can fly. I mean, he's
a big guy,
He's
too.
A big guy, and he was making Kansas miss. And, I think that's going to be, you know, Eli's won a lot since the 23 season has started. I read somewhere Georgia and Texas are the only schools in the SEC.
Won, 21 games the last 2 years.
Georgia and Texas are the only two schools in the SEC now you add two more wins because
you're
2-0.
Yeah.
23 wins since the 23 season started. 23 wins since 20. Yeah, since yeah, 23 yeah. season started. Georgia and Texas, the only teams in the SEC with more wins than that. Since the start of the 23 season.
Yeah, Missouri continues to be that team that you don't think about, and then you look up and man, they've won a lot of ball games.
Yeah, and I do wonder if Eli could be somebody else that he's not everybody's preferred flavor, but he's winning enough. It's Petrino with Arkansas. He's winning enough that if you told me, hey, we're going to give Eli Drinkwitz the keys at a traditional power that gets top 10, top 12 type talent in recruiting,
mm-hmm.
Florida, you gave him the keys there, I bet they'd be pretty good.
Oh, like, man,
I bet they'd be pretty good.
He and they have done a really good job in the portal.
Yeah.
I mean, a really good job in the portal.
Yeah, because you're not going to recruit. 5 stars out of high school.
No, not normally.
You don't have them in the. I mean, if you have one regionally, it's a big deal. It's not like Florida or Georgia or LSU.
First of all, they don't have all that talent right in their backyard.
No,
like Florida, schools like Florida do and yeah. would.
Look, maybe you think Eli's, you know, a little too weird,
like
a little
Eli.
Too nerdy.
I like Eli.
Whatever.
He's also very. I like the sarcasm.
I dig
like
it.
He's quick and, with a. With a quip.
And his kids go to war for him. Like they play so hard for him at Missouri. They've overachieved the last couple of years. And they've got I forget their game this week. I think they've got a tune-up.
They have Lafayette.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's not a bad Sun Belt team, but they got Louisiana, but they got South Carolina next week. So they got chances, and then Alabama's coming to town pretty soon at home.
The rest of their six home games. They've got South Carolina next week, then UMass, then an open date, then Alabama.
Yeah, that's the way that like folks think that A&M sets up really well for them against Auburn because they come off the bye week and Auburn hasn't had a bye week yet at that point. Mm-hmm. Auburn, Georgia, Auburn's coming off a bye week. Georgia will not be coming off a bye week. They have not had a bye week yet to that point. Missouri, Alabama. Missouri's coming off a bye week at home.
That's right, hosting Alabama.
You're both.
They've got UMass and a bye week.
Think about the advantage that is. I mean, and Auburn has one this year. Auburn gets both sides of this. The thought that you're at home coming off the bye week against a team that is not coming off the bye week and hasn't had one yet.
You want to talk about a pretty interesting stretch for Alabama after this week. All right, they've got an open date, but then they go to Georgia, Vandy at home. To Missouri, Tennessee at home.
Yeah, those are.
I mean, Missouri, that is a great spot for Missouri. They've got an open date while Bama's been on the road to Athens and then hosting Vandy.
With six home games in a row. There's,
and Tennessee the next week.
And I know people might, there's not going to be crowd burnout when Alabama comes to town. Like they'll put on, like it'll be a hornet's nest. It'll be a hornet's nest for Missouri there.
Well, especially considering they will have had an open date. At least, you know, they've got that open date. Even though they've got six straight home games, they've got five and an open date. So they got a week to breathe, you know, and get over the fact they've been at home. It's like then they've got Alabama coming in.
And they could be 5-0.
Yeah, they.
Like, they could be, we'll see what happens next week, right? But like.
See what happens. Yeah, well, South Carolina, the next 2 weeks, they've got Vandy at home and then they go to Missouri next week.
But Missouri could be 5-0 welcoming Alabama off a bye week, and it's an Alabama team that could have at least one loss.
Yeah, well, you know they'll have at least one. Alabama's got Georgia and Vandy before they go to Missouri.
And Kirby, we remind folks, hasn't lost a regular season game
at home
in Athens since 2018 or 2019, and they were a 24-point favorite in that one, and it was a double overtime game, and that's the only regular season home game he's lost since the start of the 17 season.
Mm-hmm.
One, and it was flukish to Will Muschamp, so it's like that's as tough a draw as there is for all the Florida's going to Baton Rouge, and they're clearly. Going to Ohio State is on that list right now. Ryan Day very rarely loses at home. When he does, it's Michigan, and it's a big problem. But Athens is largely because of the talent on the field.
The coaching. They can coach that talent.
And when the crowd senses that it's a big game and they bring everything they've got, it's an intimidating atmosphere too from that front. So yeah, Alabama's got they got to make it through Wisconsin, but that game next week is. That game next week is just titanic.
Most teams in this league, and I mean there are a few of them that have breaks, but I mean you look around and it seems like just about everybody has that three or four game stretch where, man, how are you going to manage this? Auburn's got it coming up, Alabama's got one coming up as well,
and you know, and Georgia's probably got. I mean, with Alabama, Tennessee, and Auburn, starting a stretch.
Yeah, they do get Kentucky in between.
They get
at Tennessee, Alabama, Kentucky, at Auburn.
I mean,
and then Ole Miss.
Georgia's probably as equipped as anyone in the league to handle a stretch like that, but it's still a tough stretch for a largely unproven quarterback and a new offensive line.
Yeah, the toughest stretch as I look through. I mean,
Florida's next 10.
Yeah, well, LSU's got a decent one coming up. I mean, they go at Ole Miss, South Carolina, at Vandy, Texas A&M, at Alabama. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they do have two open dates in there, though, so that does help. All right, let's get to our final break of the afternoon. Stick with us as we wind things down here on the Wednesday Drive.
Kia Georgia presents Big and Rich live in LaGrange, Georgia, September 12th.
Save a horse, ride a cowboy.
Live from Sweetland Amphitheater. September 12th, come rock with Big and Rich.
Lost in this moment.
Featuring special guest, the frontman.
Well, we're coming to your city.
Get your tickets for Big and Rich at www.sweetlandamp.com or by phone at 27502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back in. Final few minutes of the Wednesday Drive with Bill and Dan. Here again, our thanks to Jason Caldwell for joining us in hour number one.
Don't forget, we are taking the show on the road tomorrow.
That is right.
Our pals at Sky Bar Cafe kicking off homecoming weekend. We will be in attendance. Cool stuff going on all weekend long downtown at Sky Bar. And if you're not going to the game, Skybar will I'm sure it'll be rocking by the time the game is over.
Oh, yeah.
on Saturday with the early kickoff. So keep Skybar in your plans all weekend long.
What are you thinking? I mean, it was such a great atmosphere this past week for the Ball State game. I can't imagine it being anything like that. First of all, because it's 11:45 as opposed to a night game. But, I mean, now that Auburn has played that home game and they've got the big road series, trip coming up with Oklahoma and Texas A&M, what are you thinking? What are you thinking as far as the crowd and the atmosphere for Saturday?
I would hope that Auburn, especially with homecoming festivities and stuff,
I forgot about that.
I think between that and the way that they've made the start of the fourth quarter, even in the daytimes, sort of a must see.
How's that going to work in the daytime?
Yeah, it's going to be tougher. Maybe you skip some of the video. I wonder if the lasers show up as well in the daytime too.
Know.
You know, the part on the field. You know, the stuff they're projecting.
I bet it'll show up better than you might think.
Yeah,
I mean, we'll see.
Maybe you lower the dome, right? And so you can make it night in the state. No, I think that'll be something to see. You know, how they handle third to fourth quarter transitions in the daytime. But no, I think that the crowd will the fact that it's just the second home game of the year. I think maybe if Auburn had opened with Baylor at home,
yeah,
and now you're talking
and you were talking third straight week.
Yeah, maybe it's becoming a little more routine and easier to skip. I think with just the second game of the year and homecoming festivities coupled with it, I would hope that folks are in full force for Saturday. And you know what, Auburn had some games last year where you sort of wondered what the crowd would be like, and then you got there and it's like, oh no, it's an Auburn crowd. It's a bloodthirsty.
Well,
group
there's
of
no
folks
reason no reason for fans not to still be excited. I mean, because as we said, look, Auburn has played well up to this point, and you can see that there's still some room for improvement. Like Jeff was saying a little while ago, you want to see. Let's see if we can see a little deeper passing game.
And I'll tell you what, if you're a student on the fence about going, you only get a handful of these, all right?
Yeah,
you only
right.
get a handful of them, and it'll be, I'm not. If you bail out early, for hydration purposes, I understand. But this is an important one. Make sure you're out there.
Yeah. All right. We're out of time here on the Wednesday Drive. Again, thanks to Jason Caldwell for being here. As Dan said, we're on the road at Sky Bar tomorrow, so looking forward to that. We will hopefully talk to you then. But that's going to do it for today. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here. Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying, skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.